I figured we'd start out by talking, giving you a recap of last week in case you weren't here. But we're talking about relationships, the fact that it's two people coming together, it's two sets of families, histories coming in, two different sets of issues coming in to make one big, great, beautiful mess. It's really cool. Last week we talked about what's ugly, talking about like the junk that we bring in our relationship. We also talked about how God has invited us into a romantic love story and how... I love our drummer, let me tell you. That was a, that's a good snowball story right there. I know where you live. You almost did. That was crazy. There was a white flash and it was my life in a snowball. Okay. Mark? No, he did. I doubt it. Okay. Yeah, I'm cool. Like snow in a ball. But anyway, we talked about how God has invited us into a romantic love story and how we bring a lot of junk into that relationship too. And how, like, God, he forgets our sin, and so we must too, so that in order for us to move on and for God to move in us. As I was thinking about this week and what we're going to talk about, I was reminded of a book I read. It might have been a teaching I heard within the last year. Maybe some of y'all might know what I'm talking about. I can't remember the author or the title or anything like that, but basically it's talking about four interactions that we have with God in our relationship with him. If you could write these down, I didn't put them in the outline, but that'd be cool. It'd be cool for you to like walk away with this. But basically, the first interaction is that God is the potter and we are the clay. We've heard a lot of these analogies before, but this whole concept is the idea that God is molding us into the people that he has in mind for us. And it's pretty cool if you think about it, because it means that you think about a potter, he has a vision for what he's making. So God has a vision for our lives. The second one is that God is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. And that, you know, the Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, this is that God is guiding us down a path. The path might be scary sometimes. It might be a lot of fun. You might have snowballs flying at you. But... you can trust him because he's going to take you and he's going to keep you safe. The third one is that God is our father, you know, and we are his children, and that God is looking out for us. He is protecting us. He provides for us, and he even disciplines us when he needs to. And the last one is that God is our lover. God pursues us. You know, he invites us into this romantic love story, and he is all about us. And, you know, we are the object of his affection. And, you know, all of these different ways that we view our relationship with God, all these different types of interactions that we have with him, I feel like we do really good with the first three, you know, that God is our potter, our shepherd, and our father. We understand these, but I feel like the fourth one, that God is our lover, sometimes we lack understanding in this, and we're going to elaborate on this as we go on today, but it's pretty cool. I mean, God pursues us. He is constantly showing us his love every day. When, you know, if we look at it in the right perspective, and what's really cool is that God's love stands firm. This is in your outlines. Romans 8:38 says that, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. That always reminds me of that song. Ain't no mountain high enough. You know that song? It always reminds me of that song because it's like no matter where you are, what distance, anything like that, it's like God's love is there and it, you know, nothing can separate us from it. It's pretty cool. That's the only time you'll ever catch me singing up here. But anyway, I could go on and on talking about like God's love all day, but that's a whole other message for another day. Isn't that cool? Does that get you guys pumped? Anyway, let's get on to today's topic. There you go. We're talking about what's beautiful. And I figured we could start out like similar to last week, but a little bit different. Instead of like Amy sharing about all the great and beautiful things she brings into our relationship, sounding egotistical, and me doing all the same and sounding egotistical, I thought it'd be cool to hear from each other's perspective. So Amy's going to share about me, and I'm going to share about her. I'll go first, talking about Amy. To me, Amy brings so many beautiful things in our relationship. As I was thinking about what I was going to say, I had a hard time narrowing it down because there's so many great things. But the first thing that I should feel, that I should mention is probably the most important, is that God loves, or that Amy loves God more than anything or anybody, including me. And that's beautiful. You know, we have this agreement that if we are putting the other person above God, that we'll sit down, talk about it, figure out why, and then just kind of work on that together so that we can get the right perspective back. Also, Amy is one of the most real people I know. If you ever need somebody to tell you something straight up, and if you allow them to do it, Amy, well, she does that. She does that for me, and that's just awesome. She's always there to tell me what I need to hear. Amy has one of the biggest hearts of anybody that I know. She's full of genuine compassion and has a very caring nurture. I love the fact that Amy has the same interests as me. This is really cool. This is beautiful in my eyes. You know, we both love to hunt. We both love to fish, play sports, run, read. We just have a lot of the same interests. We can do nothing. We can sit around and do nothing all day. Or we can go out and be running around outside, and we still just have a great time. It's really cool. And that's the way a relationship should be, I feel. And we just love doing things together. I also love the fact that Amy has a huge heart for people. She loves people just like I do. When I first started on staff here at MLCF, I knew that the woman I was going to be with, she just had to have a huge heart. You know, she had to be a woman that was loved the Lord and just loved people. And that's Amy, like wrapped up in a cute little curly haired blanket. I'm not sure if a lot of y'all know this, but Amy has a huge heart to reach out to women both inside the church and outside the church. She's so ready to graduate school that she can't stand it so that she can just be in ministry. It's just pretty cool. It's beautiful. One more thing is that Amy is one of the most funniest people I know. It's not that she's like sitting around telling jokes all the time or she's just trying to make people laugh. She just has very natural humor. I mean, we can sit and laugh all day about absolutely nothing, and that's just beautiful to me.
I have something in my eye. I'm sorry. Yeah, Snowball. Same thing. I think Steve is like an incredible guy. Huh? Yeah. There's actually some makeup, I think. but contacts, it hurts. But Steve's like, he's a really awesome guy, and I just feel extremely blessed, like, to have him in my life. I look out, like, at the men in the world, and I feel like I got the best one. And I know I might be biased, but.
Oh, there goes my water all over the cable. Oh. Go ahead, babe.
But there's just a ton of reasons that I find him beautiful. I'm just going to share a couple. Like, I could go on and on. Same thing. But first and most important is Steve's heart and his relationship with God. You know, I think it's just very rare to find people who genuinely love the Lord and desire to have a relationship with him. And Steve does. And that's like the most attractive thing about him, I think, just his love and desire to follow God. He always puts him first.
It made me blush, I swear.
And that's awesome. He's also in tune with his heart. A lot of guys are emotionally closed off, like they have a really hard time sharing what's going on inside, but Steve doesn't seem to have as much of a problem with this. And I just find that really beautiful. You know, women, we desire emotional intimacy with the ones that we love, and we definitely have that connection. And also, you know, I talked about my past last week and how my dad was, you know, emotionally withdrawn. And him being so open, it also helps to bring a lot of healing to my life. So that's very beautiful to me. He's also not afraid to say I'm sorry. When we get in arguments, he's usually the one to initiate the makeup conversation because I'm the more stubborn one. And I like to stay mad and give him the silent treatment.
She does.
But this really honors God, like, and myself when he does this. He'll, you know, come up and be like, Amy, can we talk about it? And, you know, God tells us to go up to the ones that we have problems with and to not stay angry and to settle things before the sun goes down. So that's really beautiful to me that he really makes an effort in that. And also his heart to raise up men and just to really be effective for God's kingdom is really beautiful. He has a huge desire just to build up the men in his life into leaders, and it's awesome to be a witness to the guys in his life. They just look up to him so much, and I just see how much of an impact he has, and that's just really beautiful to me.
Sorry, I could have done that for you.
Turn the page.
Yeah.
He also has a willingness to grow in whatever he's doing. A lot of times he doesn't see the value of it initially. It may take him a little while, but eventually he does. An example is finances. You know, with us getting married, we really had to get on top of budgeting and stuff like that. And he absolutely cannot stand talking about money. He hates it. And it was driving me nuts.
A lot of it.
Because I would bring it up and he'd be like, I don't want to talk about it. And I'd be like, Steve, we got to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. But eventually, like, he just... you know, he saw that it was a good thing, and he's really made an effort, like, to stay on top of his money and start budgeting and spending more wisely and stuff. So that's very beautiful to me. And Steve also has a wonderful sense of humor. Seriously, we will sit in my room sometimes and start laughing about absolutely nothing, and we'll laugh about it for 20 minutes to the point that it brings us to tears.
Great.
Which is really funny. He's just a really funny guy, and I find that very beautiful. Like I said, I could go on and on, but for time's sake, I won't. So there you go.
So it's cool. So, I mean, as you can see, it seems like we bring a lot of really cool and beautiful stuff into our relationship. And some we also bring things that are different, too, which is necessary, I think, in a relationship. It means that we complement each other. And by this, I mean that there are certain things that I'll be good at, certain characteristics that I'll have that Amy won't, and there'll be certain things that she'll have that I won't. And but when we come together, it kind of makes us stronger together. Some examples of this are on there, furniture and faith. Furniture, like I really stink apparently at picking out furniture. You know, I look for things that are comfortable, you know, functional. We have that guy mentality. And Amy looks for things that are pretty. You know, they look, they're, you know.
Pretty and comfortable. You gotta have them both.
They're attractive and generally it's more pretty than comfortable. She'll sacrifice a little bit more on that end. And that, you know, that's good that we complement each other in that way. Faith is another thing. We've noticed this just probably recently within the last couple months that I tend to have a better faith in the bigger things in life, you know, like what's going to be going on in the next 5 years. And Amy has a better faith in, like, the smaller day-to-day stuff, which is cool. I mean, when we come together, it helps us encourage each other, and it kind of draws us closer to God. And all these differences, I mean, if we really let them, they could just give us a total headache. But if we come together, it makes a lot of sense. You know, now we can have comfortable couches that look good and a faith that sees God's heart in everything. And it's just cool. And just like Amy and I bring a lot of, like, really cool and beautiful things in our relationship, God brings a lot of beautiful things in our relationship with him. You know how they say the longer you're with somebody, the more you become like them? Well, this is really true. We've found this to be a definite truth in our life, and one of them is our laugh. Okay, so this is the laugh thing that we were talking about before. We have the same laugh most of the time. We'll do it. One of them is the thing, and the other one is the nose thing. You know, like we both do that, and for whatever reason, like when the other one's doing it. One's doing it, the other one does it. It's just hilarious. I mean, there's like tons of things like this in our life. Most of them, we can't even tell who brought what into our relationship, but we know that I knew it was going to happen. Gosh, I shouldn't have brought that one up. But we just know that we can tend to act the same. And with God, it's the same way with us. You know, as Christians, write this down, our goal is that we would become more like Jesus. Being like Christ is really more natural, I think, than we tend to give it. See, we need to be able to work through a lot of that junk that we talked about last week in order to move in the direction of God's original design for us, and because he created us to be like that. Like, a really good example of becoming more like God and more like Christ as you get to know him is Amy. And Amy's going to share about this.
I'm just going to talk about really quick what I was like before I really started following God, like having a relationship with him. Some of you knew me then, some of you didn't. But I was a very hard person. Like, I just walked around kind of with a you suck mentality. Like, I just didn't really care. And it wasn't that I didn't care about people. It was more of just a trust issue. I was afraid to let them into my life. So I was just kind of like, whatever. That kind of gangbanging gangsta mentality, like, you know. Actually, my freshman year, people thought I was in a gang, and I wasn't.
She was known as Ghetto Willis. Was
yeah. And I was very into, like, just drugs and alcohol, you know, partying up a lot and stuff. And I could go into a lot of detail if you want to know more. Just come ask me. I'll be happy to share with you. But that's as far as I'm going to go.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Like, I knew her a little bit back then, but it's been great to see what God has done since she, like, really rededicated her life back to God. Since then, it's cool. Like, now she's one of the kindest people I know. She's not as hard-hearted, you know, as she used to be. She has a huge heart for others. She's actually interested in what they're doing. She loves the Lord with all of her heart, and she has a way better attitude than she used to. But the point here is that the point here, I think it's on the outline, is that as we get to know Christ better, we become more like him. And just like the laugh and the nose laugh and the laugh that Amy and I have, like those are indicators that Amy and I have that we know each other very well and that we are kind of in tune with each other. And there are indicators that we have in our relationship with God that show us how deep our relationship is with him. And these are what we call the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are what they are, is they're natural reactions in our lives that occur when we are following God in every way and really going after his leading. Galatians 5:22 through 25 says, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Those things are good if you think about it. I mean, love, joy, peace, patience. I'm sure most of us could use a lot more of that in our life. Patience and self-control are some of the things I could work with, especially with money. I could just blow it all. But anyway, the context here is that there's that many of the people at that time were trying to be in God's favor by obeying law and cultural standards of that time in an effort to be more holy instead of them trying to imitate God's heart. But that's really what God wants, is that he wants our hearts. Remember, he is our lover. He pursues us. And so we need to pursue him as well and allow ourselves to be pursued. You know, when we truly get to know God better, he will produce these things that we mentioned. And these things aren't, you know, the fruits of the Spirit aren't things that we can force. We can't try and say, well, I'm going to be more patient or I'm going to have more self-control. These are things that just happen as we get to know God better. And so that the goal here is not to make these things happen in our life, but the goal is that we would pursue God and that we would get to know him better. And so we have a lot of opportunities to bring some really good and beautiful things in our relationship with God so that we may get to know him better. One is that we can make ourselves available to him. You see, like when Amy and I, when we make ourselves available to each other, I just can't get that word out, I don't know why. We're basically setting aside everything else so that we can give each other our full attention. And that's what God wants. He wants our full attention, and he wants us to make ourselves available. Got it right that time. Mark 8:35 says that if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. See, true life comes by making ourselves available to God. It's just a funny day here in NLCF. We just need to make ourselves available to him and be able to give him our full attention. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't go to class, you don't pay your bills, that you don't take out the trash. But what it does mean is that you make God your top priority in getting to know him better. See, in relationships, we also make sacrifices. This is really important in order to make a relationship work. Amy and I, for example, we have made sacrifices in order to make our future marriage go good. One of them is bed sheets. It sounds weird. I know we're not married or anything. We're not doing anything. But bed sheets. Like, you know how when you go to the hotel and all the sheets are tucked around and when you get in it, you feel like you're in a cocoon? Well, I hate that. I cannot stand it.
I love it.
I am a non-sheet tucker. And Amy took it upon herself to start untucking her sheets at night so that she could get used to this. That is awesome. So that's a sacrifice that she's made. Another thing is Amy sleeps with a fan on at night, so that she can drown out all the background noise.
And it feels good.
And I, you know, I don't need that. But I have started sleeping with a fan on at night in order to get used to it, so that when we get married, I'll be used to it. You know, it'll be like, yeah, this will be cool. I've gotten to the points where I'm able to drown out. I'm able to drown out what she is using to drown out other stuff. So it's cool. Toothpaste. I started using the same toothpaste as her in order, like, if some emergency toothpaste thing was to happen in our future.
Crest. I've never had a cavity.
Crest with whitening. But and facial hair, this is the last one. I used to be clean cut. You know, just sideburns is about all I had. Well, when I came here as a freshman, I had a mustache. It looked really funny. But I was clean. Now I'm clean cut. But as you can see now, it's back. Yeah, some kind of thing. Amy really just prefers facial hair.
I love it.
She loves it. So whenever I shave, she's like, you just don't look right. She's like, I love you, but you just don't look right. So we make sacrifices in order to make our relationship work. And with God in us, it's the same way. We need to be able to make sacrifices for him. You know, God wants our time. He really needs our time. He wants it. He wants our hearts. Remember, he's our lover. He's pursuing us. And sometimes he wants our lifestyle. You know, a lot of times we feel that if we give up certain things for God, that our lives won't be as fun or cool or fulfilling. But Matthew 6:33 says that he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. See, God provides everything that we need. You know, we don't have to worry about if I give this to God, if I change my lifestyle or make these sacrifices for him, is life still going to be good? He says that he's going to give you everything that you need. And so it's just pretty cool. I mean, that's kind of like where our heart needs to be. You know, it makes sense that we give an occasional sacrifice to God because ultimately God has given us the greatest sacrifice that we could imagine. And that sacrifice is Jesus. Remember last week when we were talking about how God created us so that we could be with him? Well, you know, sin entered the world and we became separated from God, and that was never God's intention. After a long time went by, like hundreds and hundreds of years, you know, people were going by laws and regulations in an effort to draw closer to God. God sent his son Jesus to lead by example with the way that he lived so that we could get to know God better, which is the whole point of what we're here to do, is to know God better, or to know God. You see, Jesus was in ministry for 3 years, and then he was crucified on a cross. And 3 days later, he was resurrected. He came back from the dead to show that our sins were forgiven, if we just believed in him, by breaking the power of sin. And so now we can know God better through Jesus Christ. That is the pathway that we get to know God better. In a similar way that God chooses us, you know, he says, you are the object of my affection. Or that we should choose God. God chooses us and says that I want you to be the object of my affection. You see, if God wanted to, he could just go poof and make everybody love him. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants us to make the choice. He wants us to say, God, I am here. I am making myself available. And he gives us the option of knowing him personally and knowing his heart. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that in order for God to function or exist, that he needs us, like in the sense that it's like a clock doesn't work without gears. It's not that. It's more like what I am saying is that in order to know God personally, we need to, I lost my train of thought here, that God has chosen us to know him personally, and so that we need to make ourselves open to his heart so that we can also spread his beautiful message of love to others. And so we asked the question, well, what is beautiful? That's kind of the topic of the day. We've been talking about a lot with me and Amy and with God, and I feel like I can answer that question in two simple verses, and they're on your outline. 1 John 4:9-10 says that God showed how much he loved us by sending his son, his only son, into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It's not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And so you ask me again, what is beautiful, Steve? And I would have to say that Jesus and everything he is and everything that he represents is beautiful. Let's pray. God, we just we thank you for today. We thank you for random snowballs and ourselves. God, just that you have blessed us, Lord, with a sense of humor so that we can laugh about nothing or laugh about a lot of things. And God, we thank you that you look at us and you say, you are beautiful. As my children, you are beautiful. God, I thank you that you pursue us, that you are the lover of our souls. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see this more in our day-to-day life. God, that we would trust you more. God, that we would believe you for the good things that you've got in store for us. And Jesus, that we would see you in our day-to-day. Father, we love you, and we just ask you would draw closer our hearts, God, so that we can know you better. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks a lot, guys.